Ethan S. Let's see. Is it recording?
Yeah. It's ironic you said that.
Let's see. Okay. All right. Time starts now.
Ladies,
there it is.
Man.
Let's go.
Please welcome D-Tech Smith and Steve Mix. You are now entering
the MegaCast.
Mixie, Ted, we're back.
We're here.
Two weeks in a row.
I know. It's unreal.
I don't know when we've done this before.
People said they couldn't. It couldn't be done.
We're almost like the Mariners. We're starting to win again.
Yeah. So is the whole division, though.
I know. We'll probably talk a lot about that later on today when we get to Ted's wide world of sports. But how are you there?
Good. I was just telling Mixie some stories. Got to give a shout out to the Pub 884 in Bremerton. Everybody that showed up. That men's room event was unreal.
I saw one picture that made me not jealous, but definitely like, I wish I was in this picture kind of a moment, because that's like one that you want to just kind of keep, either put it as like your cover photo on your social media pages, or maybe print it up and put it as like a picture in your office. There's a shot of you, Miles, and Thrill, and I think Jason from our station, and you were just all had microphones in your hand, and you're standing and sitting on the roof of the bar.
Correct.
That looks like a house.
Yes, exactly. And that was like the stage.
That's the best part. There's a freaking sea of people. And I'm like, this looks like the house party that my college fraternity would throw all the time. Like, people are just hanging on the roof. It's not safe. It's a little bit of a slope. And you sure as hell should not be up there under the influence of alcohol. And I'm sure a couple of you might have been. But it looked amazing.
It looked awesome. It was fun being up there. I was not super pumped to be standing on the roof.
I was going
to
say, was it terrifying?
There was nowhere else to be,
because it was on a slope.
It was on a slope, and there was like wires for the lights at night.
But I'll tell you what,
they did a great job too. Like, it was sunny and a little warm. They had like misters going. Like, the inside of the bar was super cool too. I barely made it in there. The only thing I did after about the first 30 or 40 minutes, I was just out in the sun talking to people. So finally I just said, hang on, I will sign anything, take any photo. I'm going over there by that door, and I'm hiding in the shade.
Okay, yeah. It's like, I don't want no sunburn.
You know, like, I'm pale enough where it's like, all right, I can feel my face and neck getting red.
It's National Bald Day. A lot of us baldies understand what you're talking about. What was the name of this place again?
Pub 884. It's only been open like a year, and it used to be called the National, I guess.
Okay, I think I'm familiar with the National.
Yeah,
so that's awesome, dude. It looked great.
Met Suzanne and her husband before. They come to a bunch of like KSW events. They used to come to like Cage Sport MMA.
I believe she called into our show on the BJ and Mig show at some point promoting this place before it opened.
Yeah, probably. Okay. I'm saying they've been
big fans
for
yes.
a long time, and then they bought that place. So we were talking about the Men's Room World Tour. I was like, we got to get over there.
You got to go to Bremerton.
Right. First of all, people were just pumped we were in Bremerton. But also, I was like, look, they've been big supporters forever. Let's go to their bar.
I feel like a mayor in Puyallup. In Bremerton, you'd feel like the president of the United States.
It was pretty unreal.
It's next level. It's so cool. So many awesome people out there that listen to our station and our podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. Did you get any food while you were there?
I did not. Thrill had the wings. He said they were good. I know their pizzas are pretty good. It was so busy. Yeah, I never really got a chance. Like, finally, when I finally got home, we ate some food.
Nice.
It was a long weekend.
Oh, good though, man. Yeah. It sounds like a blast. Like I said, that picture alone, just it looked like it was like straight out of like a frat party from like the 90s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody was cool. It was pretty busy at first, but once the beer line started moving, nobody was an a-hole. Like, it felt like just a fun house party.
People were having a great time. Happy to see the men's room there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
One couple made signs.
What is this, like a WWE event?
Yeah, or like College Game Day. We were up there. We're like, oh man, they made signs.
What kind of sign? Did they have one that was specific to you, Ted?
No, they had one with all our names on it. And then I forget what the other one said.
It just said, hey, Miles, Thrill, Ted.
Yeah, like, welcome to Bremerton. Like, all the stairs. It was pretty awesome.
I love that somebody's like, we're going in a bar, babe, get the oak tag. and get some markers.
I thought it was that's got to be a first.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know that we've had an event where people have had signs.
Because when I've done like the indie wrestling thing, when I wrestle at certain places, like especially in Tacoma, there's a lady Eve, and she's awesome.
All right.
She makes signs for all the wrestlers. At some point, she will make a sign for you. If she hasn't, you're not doing things right.
All right.
But she did one for me. She's done a few for me, but my favorite one she did because she knows I have a daughter. She knows my daughter loves Peppa Pig. She drew Peppa Pig with the Migs logo T-shirt in my like wrestling gear, and
right.
It just said Peppa Migs.
And
I was
Migs.
Like, that's amazing. I still have that one in the garage.
That's
like,
pretty good.
I brought that back to my kid, and she was just like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's always just like, it was a ton of fun. Met a bunch of different, I'll say, types of people with different jobs.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
No further questions, Your Honor. Have you ever made a sign?
Have I ever? I mean, I think as a kid, we made some. For like Maryland games,
yeah.
When I was at DeMatha, we would definitely make some.
Yeah.
You know, because we were always trying to get on ESPN or something if we had like a big basketball game. And that was for like my junior year, like we made some signs and stuff.
I remember when I was a kid, I made a sign for like my parents took me to a wrestling event at Nassau Coliseum or the Meadowlands, one of those arenas in like the New York, New Jersey area. And I think was like Dusty Rhodes was coming and Ric Flair and the Road Warriors. I was a big Road Warriors fan. I think I made like a sign, the Road Warriors. And it just said, the Road Warriors. It was like, what does this even mean now looking back on it? It just says their name. Like, there's nothing clever. I just wrote, the Road Warriors, right?
I mean, I'm sure they were pumped. It worked for me this weekend.
Ted, there's no chance they were pumped because I was sitting in like the nosebleed seats in like the 300 level or the 400 level. Like, my parents didn't splurge on these tickets. But you know what? They took me and that was awesome. But I'm like the kid holding the sign. But if you're looking from the ring, that probably just looks like a white speckle.
I will say, like high school and right after high school, I went to a few like WWE events.
Yeah.
And at the Baltimore Arena, I have sat on the floor. I must have been working in radios. We got good tickets. But the time before that, I was in high school and one of our friend's dads was like, we're going. And it was a great night.
Yep.
It's the night, who was the guy that had all the hoes with him?
Oh, Bob.
He was like
the Godfather.
Right.
Yeah.
We got flashed. So that was awesome. But we were in the last row.
Yeah. It was like, okay, I'm just like watching two ants fight.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. But it's still amazing. Still one of the crazy experiences ever was like going to one of the WWE events and like listeners know I love wrestling. At the time, I wasn't even doing the wrestling stuff, but like, no, I'm a big fan. And some fan had a fluorescent green sign and it just said, Steve Migs is best for business. And this is back when they were using that line, like things are best for business for the WWE. And it was like the New Day were up there and on the big Jumbotron and on TV in the background, there's just this bright ass green sign that says, Steve Migs
is best for business.
I still have it like as I think my cover photo on my Facebook or something like that. But I was just like, man, I hit Mecca. I mean, I always love like looking out and seeing all the signs. And I remember one time, and it always cracks me up. There's always that someone that has like a clever sign that just says, it's like, you know, Hulk Hogan, The Rock, or John Cena, I need weed. And I'm like, that's hilarious.
Dude, you should look up like those when College Game Day goes to town, like the people right in front, generally, I think they try to censor the crazy ones out.
Right.
But some people in the back have some awesome, awesome signs.
I'll have to look it up. And there's always a Washington State flag.
There is. And credit to those Cougs, right? They call it Old Crimson. It's been to every game day for I don't know how many years.
It's incredible.
And this year, the last weekend when it was there, they also had made a sign that was the Pac-12 logo, but it was just Pac-2. I was like, all right, you know what? Shout out to the Coug people. That's pretty damn good.
What is it, just them and Oregon State now?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So it's just the Cougs and the Beavs.
It's a lot of work to get that flag places.
That is impressive. Yeah.
Because you got to know some alumni, somebody that knows the program. And like, you know what I mean? Like some of these towns they go to, like it ain't easy. Like you don't just get a direct flight into Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I was going to say like not maybe everyone that's listening knows this whole thing. So like it's the Washington State Cougars flag has been on every episode of College Game Day, which is weekly when college football is going on.
Correct. Every Saturday. I mean, it's
there's no other team that's had that kind of like.
No.
That kind of pub, right?
I think there's other teams now that might show up a lot, but
not on this level.
No, because even before I moved here, that was like a thing. I always watched game day, which was much easier to watch on the East Coast because it started at 10 a.m. instead of 8 a.m. for us.
Fair, yeah.
Or 7 a.m., right. But you know, I'd always be like, huh, that Washington State flag's always there. So, I mean, even people that have nothing to do with Washington State or even know really about the school.
They just know the logo.
You right, and you know that flag. You're like, oh, yeah, Cougs are there.
And that's such a great logo, too. I've always loved, like, whatever, if you're a fan of the Cougars or the Huskies, I'm not here to argue with you. But I've always thought that the Cougars logo and also their color scheme is pretty badass.
Well, and for years, they were the only team in college football to have home and away helmets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like nowadays,
you know,
we're kind of
too much about this stuff. This is amazing.
I know, we're a little desensitized because teams wear different helmets all the time.
I was going to say, speak to Oregon, man. They have like a new helmet for every game, I feel.
Oh, hey, look, I'm a Maryland fan. I can't say much.
Oh, you guys do that too?
Yeah, we do it with Under Armour. We've gone back to this year. It's just the Scripps Terp on the side, but I think we got a game Friday night against Virginia, who's kind of our rival.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a black helmet this week because I think they're going to black out Bird.
Oh, I always love when like they white out or blackout games.
Yeah, and a lot of people do it. The white out, I almost cursed. I do not like Penn State. But to their credit, the white out in Happy Valley is unreal. There's 104, 106,000 people all in white.
The only time it was bad was the time that we went to a college football game in California, right? Was it California? Yeah, San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. We saw him play Oregon State.
We saw the Terps play the Beavs, and they decided to give out as promotional items, because it was raining, white tarps.
Like white ponchos.
White ponchos with hoods on them.
Right. And the Terps
logo wasn't
big enough, and it didn't even dawn on me. So you're like, dude, we all this Maryland, because Steve was just like, yeah, I'll be a Maryland fan for the weekend.
I was all about it. Go Terps. I bought us each hoodies.
Yeah, but it was right. It was just like, we look like the KKK. And I was like, yeah, this can't look good on TV right now.
At some point, we looked at like the because you know, when you're amongst everybody, you're not really putting two and two together. You're all just wearing these white ponchos with the hoods up because it's raining.
Yeah.
And then they show the crowd shot on like the Jumbotron or whatever, like the Titantron
right,
that they have.
We're playing at the Giants baseball stadium.
Yes. And so they show the entire Terp section, which we were a part of. We were sitting with fellow Terps fans.
Yeah.
And you see this sea of what looks like a Klan rally. And I remember looking at Ted, I'm like, I think we should take these off. This is kind of uncomfortable. Like, I don't really like this.
Got it.
I mean, think I'd rather be rained on.
The Terps lost, but that was a fun game.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, right before we knew it, I'm leading three sections of the cheers.
This guy, it's like he owned the place.
I know.
Like, you just said, all right, I'm going to get things going. And everybody, you knew all the chants. And I'm like that weird guy that doesn't know the words to a song, but I'm pretending that I do because I'm like, I want to fit in. And I'm just moving my mouth, but I have no sound coming out because I have no idea what everyone's saying.
Right. And that was not the plan. But
like, I'm a bad kung fu movie.
Right. Like, my brother, because he's had tickets. My brother and my dad had season tickets forever. So I was like, hey, I'll pay extra money. I want good seats. So our seats were awesome. We were basically in the club level behind home plate, but it's all Maryland fans. It's like, I don't know, 10 minutes into the game, there's just no chatter out of the fans.
No.
So I'm hammered. I start standing up. And then before you know it, it's like, yeah, Migs, who has never worn anything Maryland, now he's sitting next to the guy leading the cheers. He doesn't know anything.
Having the best time, though.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you were like the mayor of the section.
Yeah.
It was so great.
That was a great trip.
So much fun. Minus the white ponchos.
Who
passed that through the marketing team?
And I'm pretty sure we just threw them out that night. We were like, we're not keeping these.
We threw them out at the game.
That's
I remember
right.
We both looked at each other like, as soon as we saw the sea of all of us wearing white hoods, we're like, we can't be a part of this. Like, I know no one was thinking that probably. And it wasn't like we were like, it was just all white people. I mean, it was people of all shapes, sizes, colors. Like, we were all rocking these
because
it was raining. But I was like, it just feels weird when you see the giant sea of people with hoods on.
We should have had red ones, or the Terps thing should have been much, much bigger.
Have a big logo on it somewhere. Yeah. But it was just like, I don't even know. Maybe like a 30 font on like your computer.
Yeah.
And on like the, right above like the heart, it just said like either Maryland or Terps.
I think it just said Terps.
I think it just said Terps. It was the worst giveaway of all time. Come on, people.
All right. Thanks for the free racism.
TED Talks, starring B-Tech Smith.
All right, Steve, right before this, I don't even know where we were talking about. You said, have faith. Maybe we're just talking about getting the computer started.
Yes.
And I said, that's ironic you said that, because today's TED Talk is believe.
Believe.
We got to believe in something, all right?
All right.
I don't know if it's your faith. Believe in your faith.
Okay.
Maybe it's your relationship with somebody, your significant other. Believe in that. Hell, maybe it's just you got to believe in yourself. And maybe you're not doing good right now,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, look, I got, I'm kind of restarting back with some fitness stuff and
but you were dealt a tough blow with your fitness.
Yeah, right. It was right. There was, you know, besides the pandemic, there was some very tough personal setbacks.
Yes.
But I had to have faith that like, all right, I'm going to get back here. Yeah. We're going to get back on track. So yeah, just believe in it, you know, believe in yourself. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe right now you're not in a great spot, but like, you know, and people slip up, but just believe you're going to get there.
I like that, man. That's a good one.
And look, I'm not going to lie. I'm stealing a lot of that from Coach Sanders or Coach Prime. Just like what he's doing down there in Colorado is just unreal. Coach Prime.
So Deion Sanders, I thought he was like the bad guy for being the coach, but now it seems like, was I just misunderstanding? I'm barely paying attention to what he's doing over there. Like I see it in like articles, and at first it seemed like people were giving him a hard time for how he was coaching, but now I just keep seeing positive things about what's going on over there.
So,
I mean, do you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Here's the deal. He starts coaching at Jackson State University, right?
Okay.
Which is HBCU, Historical Black University.
Okay.
Right? So, and look, his first couple games down there were terrible. And I was like, man, he was a great player. That doesn't equate to coaching.
More often than not, it doesn't. Ask Wayne Gretzky.
He's the great one at playing.
Yeah, yeah, but not telling you how to do it.
Right. So, but 3 years down there, he turned that program around. And then, like, the one guy that plays offensive defense for him, Hunter, like, that kid was the number one recruit in the country. And he got him to go to Jackson State.
Mm-hmm.
So then when he got that Colorado job, a lot of people didn't like Deion because he went in, or Coach Prime, because he went in there and just basically cleaned house. And now with transfer portals and the NIL deals, he just recruited a bunch of kids to transfer over.
Gotcha.
And was like,
that's why he was catching crap.
Correct. And people were like, and a lot of the old college football heads were like, I don't think it's going to work. Look, I wasn't sold on it. And TCU, remember, different year, but they were in a national championship game last year. And they came out that first week, and it's not even that they have the talent to compete and win these games. It's that they're coached well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A few false starts here and there. Like, there's no crappy penalties. There's none of this and that. Hell, I watched the game against Nebraska on Saturday.
Not pulling DK Metcalf and just throwing random players down on the ground?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll get to that.
I hope so.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, against Nebraska, they were in a dogfight. They came out in that second half. They made the correct adjustments. They got their athletes and players in space. Well, they dominated. So, mm-hmm. So it's not even. And I'm a good college coach doesn't have to be that hands on. It's a lot about recruiting and kind of running your program. And obviously, you know certain things, and you might work with a certain group, whether it's wide receivers or linebackers. But a lot of it is hiring the right assistants and this and that. But at this point, I'm like, look, Coach Prime's doing it. They're a disciplined team. They're coached up well. He's got the talent there. Like, it's amazing. And like now I'm just like, yep, I want to see Colorado dominate.
So could we see Coach Prime in the NFL at any point?
For sure.
Yeah.
But I think.
You think a few years at least, though?
I think he spends at least another year in Colorado.
That's crazy, man.
And then you'd have to think some big program's going to try to poach him.
That's what you would think, which is just nuts because he is like an all-time great as a player.
And he's unreal.
And it's just also makes you kind of feel old because now it's like, okay, I remember this guy when he was like relatively new on the scene in the world of like football and baseball.
Correct.
And now all of a sudden, like, he's the old coach. And I'm like, what the hell? Where did this time go?
I know.
Like, what are we doing?
I know. It's unreal. And people are trying to walk back their statements now that they said about him and the program. And
so
everything.
I'm not crazy to think at some point it was was like a massive, like, not hate, but a sincere dislike of Coach Prime.
There is. Yeah. And look, I get it. A lot of people don't like the new college rules, but it's like he's playing within the rules.
Right.
That's why I always like Coach Calipari down in Kentucky. He made no bones about it. Kids got to, you got to, they changed the rules. You got to go to college for at least 1 year. And he's like, well, I'm just going to recruit guys and go to the NBA. Just have them play 1 year for me.
And I'll just dominate. And then I'll just do it all over again the next year.
Yeah.
And he was.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So like they're playing, look, the rules are the rules. They're playing within them and they're doing great. And some of these universities have a lot more money to give these kids in the NIL deals.
That's
and there's
amazing.
Always been money under the table in college football. Now you just see it.
Well, Ted, speaking of sports, and the realest sport that there is wrestling, of course. I have very exciting news to share with you.
Oh, what's up?
Your boy, Steve Miggs, got the invite for AEW Collision at the end of this month. I'll be working as an extra talent.
All right.
I have no idea what that means. So it's funny because a few of my friends are like, does that mean you're going to wrestle? I'm like, I mean, there's a chance. It might be a small one, but there's a chance I will get to wrestle at Climate Pledge Arena on September 30th.
Is that different from what you were hired to do last time?
It's exactly the same.
Okay, so you're basically in the same boat.
I'm in the exact same boat. I could easily, you might see me in the ring. You might see me sitting somewhere close to the ring, filling in a seat because, you know, they don't like having empty seats. So you have the extras, which are local independent wrestlers, get hired on. They pay us nice. They give us good food, all that good stuff. Treat us like $1 million. But hey, so my job might just be go out there and watch the show and be energetic. All right, I'm in there. Let's make it happen. Fingers crossed. So in Seattle, I was a seat filler and I was a security guard for an event. I'm hoping, though, I'll get the same luck that I had when I was in Portland, which was you're having a match.
I mean, I feel like you had such a good showing with, like, how many fans were talking to you when you were faking being a security guard, and then you wrestled.
Yeah, I was real security, man. I had to step in between, you know, a guy and Vicky Guerrero at one point.
And then you went to Portland and wrestled and got a nice little pop from the crowd there. So
imagine Seattle, though.
Yeah, I'm like, somebody, there's got to be some of the same people on this crew,
yes,
right?
100%.
That make these decisions. Like, somebody's got to remember, even if they just dawn on them when they see you.
That's the nice thing. They don't make the decisions on what we're doing sometimes until, like, 10, 20, an hour, maybe 20 minutes, an hour before you actually go out there and perform. Like, it's really right before the show starts. That's when they're like, okay, where are we using these guys? And then they just kind of put us into the pieces of the puzzle based on your size, your experience. Like, maybe, like you said, one of them might be like, oh, I remember him. He looked great in the ring with Jake Hager. Let's put him into this match because he's perfect for that. So fingers are crossed.
What time do they tape?
I think it's like, it's live. So it's at 5, but then they also do some like pre-show stuff and post-show stuff for Ring of Honor.
All right.
Like one of the other companies that Tony Khan owns. And honestly, I mean, don't get me wrong. If I get to be on television live on AEW Collision on Saturday night, that'd be nuts. But there's also part of me that, as a lifelong Ring of Honor fan, like I grew up loving Ring of Honor and still do to this day. If I got to wrestle, and that's the stuff that they tape either before or after Collision. If I got to do that under that umbrella, that to me would even be more bonkers. Because I'd probably have a longer match than I would if I'm on TV. I'm done in less than a minute. Like, they're just going to squash me. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's one of those kind of matches.
Yeah.
They're not going to trust some local, you know, Yahoo that's on the radio that's also an indie wrestler, you know.
With one of their talents.
Like, all right, you're in there for 30 minutes, 2 commercial breaks, make it happen, go. It's like, no. They're going to like, you're going in there, and you're going to get your ass handed to you in less than 2 minutes, go. Which I'll take. That's way less stressful.
I mean, it was awesome last time when you were in Portland.
Honestly, I'd much rather that. That's nice because then you don't have the stress of remembering what to do. I'm like, oh, I'm just going in there and get my ass kicked. Easy. Let's go. So I'm very excited, Ted.
You should be.
I know.
That's awesome.
I'm pretty fired up. I might need to get back on the testosterone. I posted a picture because right now there's a wrestling trend on social media. And it's the, I don't know why it's 2019 to 2023, but for some reason, somebody posted a picture of what they look like back in 2019. And then it's like, look, now here I am at 2023, trying to show like the evolution of how they look, maybe physique-wise, character-wise, gear-wise, whatever it may be.
All right.
And it's like the running trend right now with wrestlers on the independent level. So I was like, let me go try and find a picture from 2019. And it was kind of cool because I'm like, man, I could see the work that I've put in the gym and
thing I said to you this morning, right?
Which was so nice.
Yeah. Right. I was just like, your mass and definition is just so noticeable.
And it's just from eating better, hard work, you know, and then performance enhancing drugs, apparently.
So, not just putting in the time, putting in the work.
That's right. Thank you. That's a Steve talk. Well, it's actually a TED talk, it sounds like. So I posted, everyone's been super nice. And then one of the guys, and he actually said, he's like, nice traps, dude. And he's like, TRT is the thing or something like that. And I'm like, I'm not opposed to someone who uses testosterone. It's not steroids, you know, it's a hormone.
Yeah.
And I'm not like knocking it. And like, I was talking to one of the guys who jokingly then followed up and was just like, hey, dude, tell me about where you get your testosterone from. Cause he knew me. He's like, I know you were just joking. I know you're not lying. Because I was like, dude, no, this is 4 years of eating well and working out. Like,
yeah.
And even I showed that to my wife. I'm like, a guy accused me of taking testosterone. She's like, you're not even that big for testosterone. I'm like, thanks, babe. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for just completely crushing me. Here I am kind of like feeling good that somebody accused me of a performance enhancer. And I like, Also,
you should have looked at her and been like, what do you weigh, 127?
Yeah,
you tiny little lie. Speck.
I'll crush you. If we were in AEW, you'd be 1 minute and done.
Right.
And I'd be the one crushing you. But anyway, so I was like, nah, dude. And he wasn't like arguing. Like, it was just, I don't think he meant it to be a complete jerk. I think he maybe just assumed that because I'm an older guy and I get it.
Yeah.
And then someone else joked about it. I'm like, look, if I could get past the whole injecting myself, there might be a time where I might want to take testosterone. I mean, it's not like there's no harm to that. Doctors prescribe it for a reason, and some people need it. And luckily right now I don't, but I might at some point very soon. I'm not getting any younger, and I'm not going to be opposed to something like that. It's like same with steroids when people are like,
you're not. It's not like you're playing a professional sports league. Like, I have friends that have taken HGH for a while, but it's like, right, they're just normal people. It's like, right, pro athletes in the NFL can't take it. That's right. A competitive advantage.
I've seen some wrestlers and they're out and out honest about it. Like, oh, yeah, I've taken steroids, or I'm currently on a cycle, and the fans are, like, giving them a hard time. And I'm like, and even they said, like, just because you take the steroids doesn't mean all of a sudden muscles appear. You still have to
lift
an insane amount of hard work. You still have to eat right. You still have to do all this work. Does it help matters? Absolutely. But you ain't getting muscles sitting on your couch just injecting yourself with steroids. So
no.
let's pump the brakes about giving this guy a hard time because, oh, he's only this big because of steroids. I'm like, yeah, he's bigger because of the steroids, but he'd be pretty damn big without them. So whatever. But I just thought that was funny, though. Yeah, I'm like going through.
I mean,
like,
it's a good compliment.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
It could have been like, man, you look like crap.
Or like, you look exactly the same.
You look better 3-4 years ago. Someone did say that on my Instagram. They sent me a message going, I don't see the difference. And then LOL. I was like, for a second, I'm like, man, this body dysmorphia is already kicking my ass. Now you're not helping matters. That's some crazy talk.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. This is
the Ted Smith's
Wide World of Sports.
Brought to you by
Smith Family Popcorn. Good people, great popcorn.
All right. Our summer updates, summer's not officially over yet. I think we've still got a couple weeks.
I mean, it's still nice out. I still got to water my lawn. Until I stop watering my lawn, summer is not over.
The Mariners are 80-65.
Yes.
They've been winning games. They're in a very tough division. I just looked like, man, they're even like technically right now out of the wild card.
Are they? I thought they were tied with Toronto.
Maybe they're still tied. I just looked up the standings right now, and it's like, it's hard to tell because it looks like a bunch of them are tied for first, but they all have different records.
Yeah, last I checked was this morning. It's 12:30. Yeah, no one's played a game yet here. It's Wednesday when we record this, and they won last night 8-0, which put them in a tie for the final spot.
Right.
And I think they have the tiebreaker. If the season ended today, I think they've won more games against Toronto.
Look, they're going to find out. I think their last seven games are all with, Texas and Houston. So, they're going to find out.
It's make or break.
Correct.
I had to bet BJ again because, you know, last time, whenever I bet him, the team plays well.
Keep betting him.
So I was like, we need to have a bet. And he's like, well, what's the bet? And I'm like, and I made this bet before yesterday's 8-0 win, so that this one counted. I'm like, they're going to go 6-3 in the next 9 games.
That would work.
And he's like, all right, I'll take that bet. And I was like, oh, crap. You know, because I got the Dodgers after the Angels. But, hey, man, they won last night. So right now, 5 more wins in the next 9 games, and I win breakfast for our show.
UW's rolling. Michael Penix Jr., complete animal. I saw even the Cougs are back in the college top 25. So college football's back. I'm more than happy. Anybody that sat there and watched Maryland struggle a little bit against Charlotte, we were the national game Saturday night, Steve, on NBC.
Damn.
It's unreal.
It didn't go well.
I mean, we ended up winning by 18, but Charlotte, who we should have kicked the crap out of, first quarter was like 13-14-0. Because I'm at the event, going in and checking the score. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Not tonight.
Yeah, so they got the job done. But even Coach Loxley afterwards was like, look, we competed, we came back, this and that. But we all know this is not the performance we wanted.
Win to win.
Right, so they'll be back on national. Here's the deal. NBC traditionally was just basically Notre Dame football. But now these conferences have gotten so big that NBC bought into the Big Ten. But it's week 2. So a lot of the teams are just playing subdivision teams or whatever, yeah, or like ESPN or somebody else took them already, or CBS. So I think NBC was like, all right, I guess we'll take Maryland and Charlotte on national TV. I just love that was on. Because even I'm in a Facebook group of Maryland alumni. They let me in, as they're just happy to have any Maryland people out here.
Okay.
And they were posting last
week. So is it a Maryland alumni of Washington?
Of Seattle.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. They're like
so you're like an honorary doctorate or something like that. Yes. I love this.
Right, because I was like, well, I'm not actually a graduate. And the guy's like, yeah, we don't care.
Yeah,
we just need more people to show up to our watch parties.
And you're like our celebrity Hall of Fame inductee.
So the guy that runs it posted, like, we're going to meet at this bar. Like, the game's on Peacock. Like, if you're at home. And I was like, actually, man, it's on King 5. And he's like, all right, I got to double check that. Then, like, a couple days later, I see a repost like, the game is on national TV.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Maryland fans, we've got to start showing up. Sounders, they're still playing? They're still playing. They'll still make the playoffs. I talked to a lot of Sounders fans at our event, and people were like, how do you feel? I go, well, I think we're going to make the playoffs. I don't feel confident. Everybody's like, yep. Same way.
This feels like a very non-Sounder season. Like, usually I'm around and you see some people rocking Sounders gear, and I don't get that vibe like it was like in past years.
No. Well, there hasn't been anything to vibe on.
That's true. Yeah.
And then
the Seahawks didn't play this weekend. Last weekend.
Seahawks sucked. Yeah, that was bad.
It was embarrassing.
Now, it hurts losing both your tackles. I think one of them will be back on Sunday in Detroit. Yeah. That was such an ass whooping in the second half that I have to imagine Pete's going to have those boys real fired up. But Detroit's a tough team.
Yes, they beat the Super Bowl champs in week one.
Correct. But the first three or four weeks in the NFL, especially the first 3 weeks, are weird in the NFL every year. But you don't want to it's not the end of this year, but you need to go win this game Sunday.
No, Quandre said it best. You're not winning a Super Bowl or losing a Super Bowl based on week one. And he's absolutely right. But on the flip side, also, like, dude, I get that you don't want to play your players during the preseason, but maybe we should start playing our players in the preseason, because it is kind of frustrating those first couple weeks. And it's like that for all teams. I'm not just talking about the Seahawks.
It is.
It's like,
it is.
I get you don't want to get hurt, but it's like these first few weeks, so much weird stuff happens that maybe wouldn't happen if maybe you played your starters for a couple of quarters here and there.
Yeah. I don't know what the answer is on that one, because I get keeping them safe. I also think, you know, the first couple, like, look, the Chiefs aren't going to suck this year. Like, so it's like, right, they lost. Like, I don't know. You got to wait to see how it shakes out. I will say this. Cowboys look legit.
Woo! That was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that was the most boring game all weekend.
The only exciting part was whenever they panned out to the crowd to see all the angry Giants fans.
Yeah, so I'm like, all right, like, they look legit. I'm forgetting somebody. There's a couple teams that look pretty legit this weekend who I think are also built different.
Yeah.
Like, the Rams, I'm still like, you kick the crap out of us, but let's see week nine. I think the Seahawks have a strong team, young team. I think they'll be all right.
I just worry that, you know, it's going to be a matter of a win or two getting you into the playoffs for the Seahawks. I don't think like they're going to like be more. You know, I predicted 13-4 before the season started. I went game by game, like
all
the
right.
usual thing that you guys make fun of me for. But I mean, I feel like it might be one of the things, like last year, you needed Detroit to win and you needed this. You had to win this game. That's why, like, I get nervous when you lose these games that you should win.
Correct. We were saying that was the worst loss since like last year losing to the Raiders. I will say this too. Like this weekend, okay, but like you don't want to go 0-3. There's some crazy statistic of like basically you start 0-3. You're basically, it's almost like your season.
You know what I think
over.
Is funny though? It's like everyone's crapping. Like, of course, it's like everyone's directing their anger towards Geno. And I'm like, I mean, not that he had an all-star performance, but Geno was the least of my concerns after watching that game.
Like, no, the Rams made adjustments. And again, both of our tackles went out in the second half.
And that's why, Geno had 12 yards.
Right, Geno had no chance. Like, the running game was non-existent. Like, the first half, there was like, all right, we got some things cooking. So, yeah. And they just, that was a bad half of football. And frankly,
DK didn't help matters.
At first, I was trying to support him, but I'm like, DK, I love you. You've got to cut that crap out.
Yeah, you
got to
grow up.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything.
This is what, season three?
That's not a block.
No, and don't try and act like we're all idiots. Like, what you did was dumb.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Also, credit to the players. I really respected Geno, and a couple other guys came out and just said, hey, look, the Rams just played harder. They seem more ready to play. And I think that's the players taking accountability, and I think Pete Carroll the same way. Like, That'll be a different team we see in Detroit.
I hope, man, because, I mean, only if they could have, like, maybe drafted a guy that could have helped with the pass rush. And, you know, it's not on Philadelphia having a very good first game ever. And that will forever be. I just want to know why they didn't go with that guy. Was it Carter?
I know.
I know he's got a bad, not a perfect past. And I'm not here to be like, oh, cut him some slack with that.
And look, we said it last year. I was like, look, I know it's like, but I'm like, I'm still going to draft him. That is a football player.
Right. But it's like they have drafted other guys that have had bad pasts, feeling that they can rehabilitate them and like kind of change the way that they are. And more often than not, I mean, you hear a lot of success stories coming out of the Seahawks organization. So it's like, what made you guys feel like this guy was beyond help? That's what I would love to know. We'll never know.
You never know. There's so much that goes into it, but it is kind of ironic that our team is very thin at defensive line, and we have more great defensive backs than we can use.
Right. We drafted another one. Let's go. Speaking of Seahawks, not in 6 days from today, that YouTube series, I think, begins about the Legion of Boom. It's a 10-part.
Oh, it's a YouTube series. Okay, I was wondering why I haven't been seeing ads for it.
It's a 10-part mini docu-series that's going to be on the Seahawks YouTube page.
Huh.
All about the Legion of Boom from, like, what, 10 years? It's a 10-year anniversary of the Super Bowl season.
Yeah.
That's going to be a pretty good watch.
All we got. All we need.
I still
love those dudes.
All right, think.
I'm here next week.
I don't see why I won't be here either.
Oh, don't say it that way. That makes me nervous.
I don't know. You never know how you react to this testosterone, man. Sometimes you just get really mad and you got to leave work.
Hey, just believe it's going to work.
I will believe. Thanks, Coach Prime.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. We'll be back next week and follow us on Twitter at the Megacast. And I got no special words to say to everybody.
Yeah. You know what? Have fun this weekend. Get up early. Yeah. Maybe get some donuts. You know what I mean? Put in the work the next few days. I know I am with my nutrition stuff.
Yeah.
Like Sunday morning, I'm like, F it. I'm gonna get some donuts and watch this game.
Maybe go crazy with like a big helping of waffles with whipped cream on it.
Oh, dude, yeah. All right, real quick. I'm thinking about Sunday. I do enjoy making a breakfast sandwich, but I'm thinking about getting a cup of toasted up some Eggos. And making bacon, egg, and cheeses on an Eggo waffle.
That's amazing.
That's, yeah.
Did we get like the kind of like the Eggos, but they have like the other brands, but like similar, like with the blueberries in them?
All right, yeah.
I love those. Put them in the toaster. That's my meal. That's my breakfast every morning on the weekend. Or if I'm off from work, like get that, put some peanut butter and some honey on it, and I'm good to go. But one of these days, I'm going to pull what my mom used to do for me. And, you know, that's probably why I had such an unhealthy relationship with food for the longest time. And I'm still trying to deal with that at times. Yeah. Because her idea of breakfast would be she'd get the Lego or the Eggos and then two scoops of vanilla ice cream on top of it. And that was breakfast.
Jeez, that's awesome.
I want to do that again so bad. Because you think about it, you love ice cream in a waffle cone.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you love two scoops of ice cream on top of a nice warm waffle?
Yeah, everything goes good with a waffle.
Including chicken.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, we're out of here.
Yeah, man.
Eat some donuts, eat some waffles.
Go Hawks!
And go Hawks.